Here we go. Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, May the 6th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we're taking a look at readings for the following Sunday, which is the seventh Sunday of Easter. Since we're still in the Easter season, we have no Old Testament reading, but the reading is from Acts chapter 1. The epistle is from 1 John 5. And the gospel, which we're going to be looking at today, is from John 17. Now, what's unique about John 17? In chapter 16, Jesus told about the work of the Holy Spirit. He indicated that their sorrow will turn into joy. And he also says that he has overcome the world. Chapter 17 is entitled The High Priestly Prayer. Jesus is the high priest. And here's what he has to say. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. What is he talking about? Well, the highest level of glorification of God is to worship, praise, and thank him. Jesus is about to do that on the cross. That is glorifying God, because when you glorify God, you give him opportunity to look at you. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why is God the Father so pleased with Jesus? Because he's going to glorify the Father by obedience to go to the cross. And in that cross, the Son will glorify the Father. Verse 2. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Wow. That's how he glorifies the Father, by giving eternal life. Now, why does he have to give eternal life? Because every human being is born with original sin and is totally incapable of becoming righteous in God's sight by their works. That's what the law says. You become righteous by doing good works. Luther was very disturbed by that. In fact, he got to hate God because he realized in his earthly life, he was unable to be righteous. So Jesus came for the purpose of giving him the righteousness of God so that he could be justified, not by works, but through faith. Christianity is totally unique in that we are saved through believing the promises of God. No other religion has that. Every other religion in the world outside of Christianity teaches that you become right with God when you obey his word. But obedience is more than just outwardly doing the commandments. It's inwardly doing the commandments with the motivation of loving Jesus Christ in order to do the commandments. Verse 3 of John chapter 17. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Well, there is very clear that the only true God is both the Father and Jesus Christ. When did he send him? Well, the plan to send him was from the creation of the world. Before that, God made a plan to bring people into his family by adoption. And that is by Jesus dying on the cross and paying the penalty that should have been mine and yours for our grievous sin. That is why the cross speaks loudly that our sin has been forgiven. And this is eternal life, that we now know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Verse 4, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Boy, that is a great poster to put in a church. How did Jesus glorify God the Father? The same way that we are now enabled to glorify God the Father, by accomplishing the work that he gave us to do. And that work is to obey his will in whatever vocation we have. Remember, vocation is that to which you are called. You just are not accomplishing the work by becoming a pastor. No, you accomplish the work by becoming even a Sunday school teacher, or by doing proper work in your employment, in obeying what the company wants you to do with integrity, not stealing from them, not doing things that are contrary to God's will. And that's the life of sanctification that only can occur once you know God. And that is a wonderful, wonderful task that Jesus did in accomplishing the work that he was given to do. And that was not accomplished until you heard the words from the cross. It is finished. And what was finished? The work that he was given to do, to die for the sins of the world. So Jesus continues the high priestly prayer in verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Did you hear that? the glory that the Son was given to the Father took place before the world even existed, before the creation of the world. In fact, in Genesis, the third verse, Jesus is mentioned when it says, "And God said, let there be light." Now, there was no sun at that time. And so the light that came about was the same light that will occur on the day of judgment, that the disciples saw partly on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus continues the prayer in verse 6. "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world." To manifest means to reveal. He revealed to the people, namely God the Father. And he did that by receiving those whom God the Father had given him out of the world, those who were elected, and they were elected from before the foundation of the world. "Yours they were," he says, "and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." See, that's how a person is saved, not by doing good works, but by keeping the word. As God the Father said on the Mount of Transfiguration, "Listen to him," namely to Jesus, for that is where the word of God comes from. Verse 7. "Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you." Remember when Jesus fed 5,000 men besides the women and the children, he raised his eyes to heaven and thanked God the Father for doing the miracle of being able to feed 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread and some fish. "For I have given them," he says, verse 8, "the words that you gave me, and I have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." See, that was the message of Jesus Christ. He had come to glorify the Father, and that began in the Old Testament, when God gave the Ten Commandments as what he wanted people to do. But the Ten Commandments showed that people were unable to do them with the proper motivation of love of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came and died for your sin, and you were forgiven, which means that God no longer holds you accountable for your sin. Verse 9. "I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." Here's where the English needs to be understood. When Jesus says, "I'm not praying for the world," a lot of people can't understand that. Isn't he supposed to be praying for the world? No, the word world in this context is the kingdom of Satan, not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, which on earth is the Holy Christian Church, is what Jesus is praying for. So he's not praying for the kingdom of Satan, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Jesus began the glorification of the Father in his incarnation, continued in the crucifixion, resulting in the resurrection, and finally the exaltation back into heaven. This is why he says in verse 11, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Notice how Christians are saved. They are saved in the name of Jesus. That reminds us of the words of holy baptism. I baptize you into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You receive a new spirit. You receive a saved spirit. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus is saying. So he's no longer part of the world. He's no longer part of the kingdom of Satan. But he came to save those who were still in the world. And he is coming to us. Holy Father, he says, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. You know, think of children. They are one in the family in which they are begotten or adopted. The father and mother, they are the representatives of God in bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, taking them to Sunday school, worship services, vacation Bible school, reading them Luther's catechism at home. This is how they become one with the world. And the Holy Father keeps them in his name. Verse 12, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about Judas, the son of destruction. And did Judas betray the Lord in order to fulfill the scripture? No. It was clear from the Old Testament that one of the disciples would betray the Lord. That was looking into the future. Jesus says that that betrayer, that destroyer, was none other than Judas. Remember what he says about Judas? It would have been better had he never been born. 13. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now, what's he talking about? The joy of being saved. That's what the message to the world is. That's the message of Jesus Christ, as found in the early chapters of Mark. John the Baptizer brought a message of the baptism of repentance, followed by Jesus bringing the message of what we call the gospel, the good news that in Christ your sins have been forgiven. That's what Jesus did in giving you joy. Going on with verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. See, that's why there are many who oppose the church, because they hear from the church the will of God, which they cannot agree with. They instead do terrible sins because they are following the God of their own presence, namely themselves. That's why every commandment is a breaking of the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What gods do we have before the true God? We make ourselves God. That is so clear from the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, where they decided that they would become God by doing what they wanted to do rather than what God said. Verse 13. The joy is fulfilled in those who are part of God's church. I have given them your word. But that means the world hates them when they follow the word of God and not the words that come from their own minds. Verse 15, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus himself says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the word truth refers to the promises of God that come from the cross, found throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's the message of the church to people who are in the world so that they may be sanctified. What does sanctify mean? It means to make holy by believing the word of God. It's the means by which the Holy Spirit produces faith in every Christian, and that is what saves. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. That's our mission. We now preach to the world the message of the gospel. So as people believe it, they leave the world and become a part of the kingdom of God on earth. Verse 19, and for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may be sanctified in truth. That's Jesus talking about the cross, that he sanctifies his body so that our body will end up in heaven, justified by grace through faith, not on account of works. Join us tomorrow for a look at the hymn. Until then, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.